Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
From the west coast of Europe, Radio Netherlands has the teamwork to make the dream work.
Media Network, the weekly communications review, hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Hello, and who's first?
Hello, Jonathan Marks. It's Sean Burke here in a place called Stewiacke, Nova Scotia, Canada. And I enjoy your program. It's good company. Love going across the dial when I have time. Listening to the news of the world.
Just one of the many calls this week from people who just phoned to say they're listening. And by doing so, you make the point that in this troubled world, we need programmes with the hard news and analysis, but we also need a bit of entertainment too. The new year got off to a mixed start, though. Propagation on this part of the world was rather poor, although a very high pressure zone over northern Europe gave a chance for long-distance FM and television reception. That's gone now, though. Radio Prague was relaunched on January the 1st as Czechoslovakia split into two. That clearly meant some reorganisation and resignations at the external service of Czech Radio. The mailbag programme on Sunday, January the 3rd, consisted of farewells.
Our Listener's Tribune team seems to be on our way out for different reasons. My reason is I'm quitting Radio Prague after 3 years because there seems to be, I'm sorry to say, total chaos here, and we've been working under very heavy stress for the past few months, and I really feel I need a change and I need to settle down a bit and try something else for a while.
Richard Meesham, manager of the publication World Broadcasting Information from BBC Monitoring in Britain, has more details of the split. First of all, though, Richard, what was the situation at the end of December?
Well, as regards the Radio Czechoslovakia external service, all the studios were in fact in Prague, although the transmitters themselves were both in the Czech Republic and in Slovakia.
And did they take any programmes at all from Bratislava?
Not that we know of. There may have been odd news reports included in programmes, but the service was presented from Prague by Radio Czechoslovakia. I don't think there were any studios as such, and no programming actually came live or direct from studios in Bratislava.
Right. Now, what happened then on Friday at midnight?
On the morning of the 1st of January, the former Radio Czechoslovakia external service had been renamed Radio Prague, the external service of Czech Radio. In fact, Radio Prague is taking over the whole of the existing schedule of Radio Czechoslovakia, all its programmes in English, French, German, etc., and has taken over the whole service and presenting it from Prague. The only thing that they have done is they've added 2 half-hours in Slovak, specifically for Slovak listeners to tell them about events in the Czech Republic. In other words, it's a sort of external service from the Czech Republic to listeners in Slovakia. As regards Slovakia on shortwave, the only thing that the Slovaks are doing at the moment is that they now have got 1 hour on shortwaves, broadcast from 14 to 15 GMT on 6055, 7345 and 9505 kilohertz. And this 1 hour in Slovak, all it is a rebroadcast of the Slovak Radio Domestic Service news from the service which is known as Slovakia One. In other words, the first programme of Slovak radio.
And even though Czechoslovakia has split into two separate countries, the shortwave transmitters haven't been divided between Czech and Slovak radio. So you may well hear Radio Prague from shortwave transmitters in Slovakia. Talking of Slovakia, there are ways to hear that on medium wave too. Julius Hermans in Floten here in Holland ran a tape on 1098 kHz medium wave around 23 hours UTC on December 31st. Designed to catch the first few minutes from Bratislava as the new Slovakia.
Áno, takže takýto má byť program o 24:00 sa rozozvučia zvony. začne sa spíčovanie štátnej vlajky Slovenskej republiky a zaznie hymna v podaní speváckého zboru mesta Bratislavy.
You can hear the fireworks in the background. So much for Slovakia. Richard, you have another item for us, I believe.
Yes, one unusual DX catch is Turkmenistan. We have a new frequency for the domestic service of Turkmen Radio from Ashgabat. They're now using 5015 kilohertz instead of 4825 kilohertz. So that's Ashgabat on 5015 kilohertz. And they sign on about 1 o'clock in the morning GMT.
What's reception like?
Reception here in the United Kingdom is extraordinarily good. It seems to be a better channel than the former 4825 kilohertz channel.
Read this, okay? Let's see. 3,135,724,222. What is that? Oh, it's a phone number. 3135724222. 3135724222. 3135724222. 3135724222.
Yes, call us anytime on the 24-hour answer line. A number of things will be happening to Radio Sweden on January the 18th. Because of a reorganisation of the domestic radio service, Radio Sweden will lose the extra evening half hour in English and Swedish, so satellite and shortwave listeners should look for them in English at 22 hours UTC, as from the 18th. The frequencies then will be 1179 medium wave and 6065 and 9655 kHz to Europe and Africa on shortwave, and also 11995 kHz to South and East Asia and the Pacific. But Radio Sweden will also have a new English broadcast at 1830 hours to Europe and Africa, also on 1179, 6065 and 9655 kHz, and to the Middle East and Eastern Africa on 15270 kHz. That broadcast will also be on the satellite as well. In his New Year address to staff here at Radio Netherlands, the chairman of the Board of Management, Menno Dijkstra, has cautioned that 1993 could be a year of unrest. A three-year plan, 93 to 96, was submitted to the Dutch Minister of Culture last year, which states that any new initiatives, such as satellite services, will have to come out of existing funds. There will also be a general review of all programme activities here to see whether we're reaching the right targets with the right sort of programmes. The Dutch Minister of Culture, Hedy Den Koner, has stated that she wants to have a close look at public broadcasting in general. At a festive opening of the fourth national FM network here in Holland this past week, the minister said she expects the public broadcasters to cooperate much more than they do at present, especially when it comes to television. To avoid programme duplication on medium wave and FM, the frequencies of the Radio 1 network, 747 kHz from Flevoland and 1251 kHz from Hulsberg, as well as the Radio 3 network on 675 kHz from a transmitter in Lopik, all these are available for hire by commercial radio groups if they want them. The minister also plans to make a critical study of Radio Netherlands to see how the current annual budget of $42 million is being spent. At the same time, salary scales across the public broadcasting industry have been totally revised. Many of the administrative and production jobs in both radio and television have been downgraded. So-so New Year's greetings arrive from Christopher Ehrmann in Kufstein in Austria, who thinks we should try a service to Europe in the evening hours on 75 metres. The BBC and Deutsche Welle are there. Why not Radio Netherlands? Well, the transmitters and antennas at Flevo are not designed to operate below 5.9 megahertz, so we'd have to make an enormous investment for the sake of a very crowded band, which isn't available on many cheap shortwave portables. Not really worth the investment, I'm afraid. But I note that many pirate radio stations have started popping up on 3900 kHz late on Saturday nights, evidence that the sunspot number is really dropping. Next caller.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Graham Stevenson phoning on the 1st of January 1993 from Dunblane in central Scotland. It seems more changes are afoot at Radio Luxembourg. Firstly, as you know, the German service changed its programme format back in the end of October when they renamed themselves the oldest station. The English service closed down last week, And certainly this morning, we have the French service using the old German language frequency of 6090. Just a thought here, Jonathan. Am I the only person who seems to think that Radio Luxembourg has pressed the self-destruct button recently? I'm referring in particular to the German service in 1440, which now plays hits only from the 50s, 60s and 70s. Although if you actually listen, you'll be hard-pushed to hear anything later than 1974. They play so many songs from the mid-60s that they could almost be renaming the station Radio 1966. Best wishes for 93, Jonathan, and keep up the good work at Media Network.
Well, thank you for those comments. One thing to add, in fact, the 10-kilowatt shortwave transmitter on 15350 kilohertz is now in the German language from Radio Luxembourg, parallel with 1440 kilohertz. Mike Knight and Andy Hayward, both involved with Radio Luxembourg's English service for over a decade, have got a licence now for an English language radio station in Luxembourg. It's called Sunshine 102.2. They hope to feed the output to a subcarrier on Astra in the next few months. The last 2 hours of Luxembourg's English service last week, which contains a lot of documentary material, will be issued on a compact disc set. More news when we have it. Phil Perkins in England reports that for him the new year started with the arrival of a specially postmarked letter from St Helena in the South Atlantic Ocean. If you remember, Radio St Helena came on the air for one evening on October 23rd last year, using a 1.5 kilowatt transmitter on 11092 kHz. Phil got a nice letter and a verification card, but on the envelope was a special stamp issued by the post office on St Helena to commemorate 25 years of broadcasting, and franked on December 4th, would you believe, the first day of issue. That's certainly one for the collectors. James Robinson of Birkenhead in England has been watching the N3 German language television service on the Astra satellite and notes that the 7.92 MHz subcarrier carries foreign language programmes from 1720 up until 2120 UTC. Languages include Serbian, Turkish, Polish and Spanish.
Parte meteorológico, previsión del tiempo en Alemania hasta mañana por la tarde. Dos tercios del territorio de la República Federal se encuentran amenazados por la lluvia helada que está convirtiendo las calles y carreteras en pistas peligrosamente resbaladizas.
Weather forecast for Germany in Spanish. So what's going on? For the answer, we cross to Wolfgang Schultz in Hamburg, who's a long-time listener to Media Network and also works in the public broadcasting sector there in northern Germany. Wolfgang, what have you discovered?
NDR television really rented the transponder number 25 on Astra 1B completely. That means all audio subcarriers, and made the decision to put two radio programs in addition to the television program on that transponder so that it is really booked out and nobody else can come in. This is not to be mean, but it seems to be the cheapest way to do it that way. My investigations brought out that NDR2 is one of the radio programs that we have on 7.38 and 7.56 subcarriers, while the other pair, 7.74 and 7.92, is NDR4. NDR4 is a very talk-oriented radio station with background information and art reports and things like that. On both of these two subcarriers has always been NDR4 in mono. It was never a stereo presentation on those two subcarriers. The reason is they split occasionally. We do have VHF transmitters here in northern Germany that broadcast NDR4, and we do have medium wave transmitters that are called NDR4 as well. But at certain times, those two frequency ranges split and separate in the contents. Sometimes it can be predicted, like in the late afternoon, we do the so-called guest worker foreign language programs on the medium wave side of NDR4, which then would be 7.92 on Astra, transponder 25. While we also, and you cannot predict that, broadcast Bundestag sessions, maybe the entire day, on just the medium wave channel. And that would show up on the same audio subcarrier then.
So I get the impression that NDR is using its transponder on Astra to feed the transmitters.
This seems to be for backup purpose so far only, but there are plans to do that indeed, although it would not be much of a saving because the system here works very much what we call chain system. One transmitter receives what another transmitter broadcasts. That is how many of the smaller transmitters work here, so there are no line costs involved anyway. But they want to use Astra Transponder 25 and those radio programs on there as a backup.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
We stay with satellites for a few seconds. The Euronet channel, a subcarrier on the Sky Sports TV transponder on Astra, carried a Dutch language program on New Year's Day. It was a reunion of several disc jockeys who used to work on the offshore station Radio Monique. It broadcast back to Holland on medium wave. The one-day satellite service sounded as though they were still out there on the North Sea, broadcasting on medium wave. An address was announced in Baarn, Holland, not far from Hilversum. Was the restricted audio quality the result of special narrowband ISDN circuitry feeding the signal from Holland to be uplinked from London? No, it was simply the linear soundtrack of a long play videotape which had been sent to Euronet through the post.
Dit is Radio Monique Internationaal via Astra 1B transponder 20 van Sky Sports op subcarrier 7.56 MHz. U kunt ons schriftelijk bereiken via postbus 67, postcode 3740 Anton Bernhard, Baarn in Nederland. U kunt ons ook bellen of faxen. Vanuit Nederland 01830 60261. Radio Monique Internationaal via Astra.
On the subject of offshore radio, the Dutch authorities have decided to return all the apparatus, including thousands of records, to the owners of Radio Caroline. Some $750,000 worth of equipment was confiscated during a raid of the Ross Revenge ship by Dutch and British authorities back in 1989. The authorities believe that changes in the UK broadcasting law mean it's unlikely that the Caroline ship will operate from the North Sea again. And there seems to be no legal reason to destroy what is a priceless record collection. Back to TV, and a new European competitor to both CNN and BBC World Service Television has started up, testing at least. Broadcasting from studios in Lyon, France, it went on the air last Friday on the Eutelsat 2F1 satellite at 11.575 GHz. The programme concept is similar to the old Europa TV project, which ran from Holland in the mid-1980s. In other words, there's no InVision presenter. You choose the soundtrack you understand by selecting the right audio subcarrier on your satellite receiver. Five languages are on the air at the moment. English is on 7.02 MHz. Euronews is unscrambled in the PAL standard. 11 public broadcasters throughout Europe are behind the venture, although NOS Television here in Holland is not one of them. Indeed, NOS spokesman André Matthijsse says the channel isn't needed in Holland. He regards the operation in Lyon as more of a picture assembly plant rather than a proper journalistic operation. No cable systems in Holland yet carry Euronews.
Crude oil is leaking into the North Sea from a tanker that ran onto rocks in northern Scotland.
Meanwhile, BBC World Service Television for Europe on Intelsat 601, 10.995 GHz vertical, isn't scrambled at the moment. A new Eurocrypt scrambling system will start, though, at the end of the month, on a different frequency, 11.643 GHz horizontal, and promos are going out for subscriptions. Cable systems in Holland have been offered World Service Television, providing they pay for their own decoders and £19 for a smart card. Cable companies will have to pay 75 cents per quarter for every household connected to the system.
Radio Netherlands, we're not number one, you are.
The January 93 issue of DX Ontario contains two interesting items. It seems the 10-watt shortwave transmitter of CKFX from Vancouver, operating on 6080 kHz, has been off the air for a few months. But the chief engineer at the station told reporter Mitch Sams that a new sender with a slightly higher power should be operating shortly. In fact, it may already be on the air, 6080 kHz, the call sign CKFX. And a clipping from a newspaper in British Columbia reveals that Radio for Peace International has chosen Salmon Arm, British Columbia, as their second broadcasting site, alongside their current shortwave operation out of Costa Rica. Licensing work is now underway with the Canadian authorities. Radio for Peace International hope to be broadcasting to Asia from the new site by the end of this year. Marcel Roberts in Arnhem, right in the east of Holland, has been doing some research for us. According to a letter from Radio Galaxy, their transmission has been reduced to 1 hour a day. This commercial radio service, set up by former Radio Moscow employees, is now on 9880 kHz, starting at 19 hours UTC. WEWN in Birmingham, Alabama, the new Catholic religious station, is only using one transmitter at present on what appears to be just 250 kilowatts. They have a Dutch Catholic program at 9 hours UTC daily on 7465 kHz. Radio Nacional da Amazonia has been noted by Marcel in the morning hours here in Europe. The frequency of this Brazilian station is slightly off, though, but it means that 6183 kHz is getting in quite well at 0830 UTC, providing you have a radio with sharp bandwidth filters. The second shortwave site in Africa, number one in Gabon, may now be operational. Programs on 17630 kHz sound like they're being fed down the phone. Most of the programming is in French, but there's a news bulletin in English around 1255 UTC daily. Staying in Africa, maybe you remember this blast from the past.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot.
Hi there, everybody. This is G.W. Big D looking in for just a moment. I wonder if you remember this song from back in 1964, The Drifters Under the Boardwalk. Well, it's just one of the big hit records we're going to be playing this week in a Lucky Strike all-time American great show this afternoon on LM at 4 o'clock.
That was the shortwave service of Lorenzo Marx Radio in Mozambique. Next week, this program will present a profile on that station today, now called Radio Maputo. Joining me now, though, on the line from Colombo, Sri Lanka, is our monitor, Victor Gunatilaka. Do you remember that sound, Victor?
Oh, yes, Jonathan, and it brings back so much of pleasant memories of our early DXing days nearly 20, 25 years ago. LM Radio used to provide a very good signal, especially on 90 meters, and we liked the nice music and the disc jockeys on the station. Of course, they had English and also Portuguese, very lively programming, and LM Radio was a favorite spot on the radio dial.
A sort of Radio Luxembourg, as it were, of Southern Africa.
Oh, yes, very much, very much.
Anything coming out of Mozambique at the moment that you can hear?
Well, yes. Last time I came on the program, Jonathan, I mentioned the fact that we are getting very good African reception. Now, I was thrilled to hear a very clear station identification from the regional station in Beira. That's Emissora Provincial de Beira at 2100 UTC and the frequency 3370 kHz. Programming, of course, was in Portuguese.
Anything else from Africa?
In fact, we have very good reception right now from Bujumbura in Burundi, and that's a rather exotic country for us to hear in Sri Lanka. Very good reception on 6140 kHz, 6140 kHz at 16 hours UTC with the programming in French and going well past 1700. And by the way, just 10 kilohertz up on 6150, the Voice of Kenya, the vernacular service, also puts in a very strong signal. And in fact, it's even stronger than the Voice of America in Hindi on 6160, beaming to India in Hindi. So that would give you an indication of how good reception is along the equator down here in Sri Lanka, Jonathan.
Where's the Voice of America beaming from, though?
Well, they are beaming from Kavala, Greece, to India with their Hindi broadcast.
I'm with you. What about Latin America, though? Can you hear any signals from there?
Oh, yes. In fact, we have very good reception from Radio Nacional in Paraguay, and that's a really exotic one down here in Sri Lanka. And good Paraguayan music, almost daily, fair reception on 9735 kilohertz, 9735, anytime around 2330 UTC, going up to about 130 UTC when the station fades out.
Very early morning reception by that time.
Oh, yes, that's right, and the band is quiet of any atmospheric noise, and we're very happy to hear that. And also, Radio Argentina Exterior, the external service, is also not a very often heard station, and they are providing a fairly good signal on 11710, midnight UTC, before they commence their Portuguese service. But they give quite a few station identifications in English and other languages, so that's a little easier to identify.
Victor, thank you. Some more news to report concerning the relays of Radio Netherlands via transmitters in Russia. Because of the holiday season there, we still haven't managed to establish a link between the Hilversum studios and the Moscow distribution centre. But engineers are working on it as I speak, and early next week is the current projected time frame. That means I have to delay Media Quiz 93 by 7 days. Sorry, but that's life. I can announce another contest, though. It's our Instant Confusing Calendar Contest. Around 3 months ago, the printer delivered our 1993 stick-on calendars, which we give away free of charge around this time of year. After we'd sent off a few hundred of these, Iris, one of our secretaries in the English department, noted something was seriously wrong with this coming year. After some negotiation, the printer agreed to redo all 16,000 of the sticker calendars. But what should become of the first attempt? We could throw them away. Instead, though, if you write to us now and ask for a calendar sticker, we'll send you not one, but two of them. One, though, has a stamp on the back of it. All you have to do is examine that calendar and tell us why it doesn't work. Entries to the contest must be postmarked before March the 1st, and we'll have some attractive giveaways for blooper snoopers.
Radio Netherlands. We've got the teamwork to make the dream work.
News has just come in via BBC Monitoring about the National Radio of Moldova, which has been conducting some test transmissions, we presume, via transmitters of Radio Romania International. Most of them have already happened a few hours ago, I'm afraid, but just for the record, here are the details. On Wednesday, from 19 to 1925 UTC, they used 9620, beamed to France, and from 1935 to 20 hours UTC, the same frequency, 9620, beamed to Spain. I checked last night and only heard Spanish foreign radio on that frequency. Anyway, from 0130 to 0155 UTC, they used 9755, beamed to Latin America, and from 0205 to 0230 UTC, 7125, beamed to the United States. Finally, today, Thursday the 7th, there'll be tests to Europe again from 13 to 1325 UTC on 15390, beamed to France, and from 1335 to 14 hours on 15285 kHz, beamed to Spain. We presume the language will be Romanian. So much for those tests. And that's a lot for now. More media news and features in 7 days. From the team, have a pleasant weekend.
Copyright 1993.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. It's, some people get static. Some people get far off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network program. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.